have to have all the answers. You have to know where to find them. This is Steve Dace.
Well, it's the Steve Dace Show for Becca Maxwell and for Steve Dace today. And I'm enjoying my time in the captain's chair because it means we get to talk about things that I'd like to talk about. I like to find people that can teach me fun, interesting, useful, and possibly dangerous things. And today, I thought we'd dedicate a little bit of time to the heritage of freedom, the heritage of individual human rights, because we're used to thinking about it in terms of an American context. The Declaration of Independence, you hear us quote that and from our founding documents quite a lot because it's so important. The theories, the understandings of how humanity and natural law is supposed to work is incredibly important. It changed the course of the world, but it was not the first document of its kind to lay out a certain ground rules for government, because there's a whole heritage of human rights leading up to that. And what happened hundreds of years before that led us to the point where we can have such a thing as the Declaration of Independence, which of course gave us such a thing as the United States of America. Well, to that end, we're going to get some education. Avi Davis is with us. He's the president of the American Freedom Alliance. He's also the editor of the Intermediate Zone, and his work has appeared in lots of different publications, including the LA Times, Chicago Tribune, the American Thinker, and other places as well. And, sir, it is good to have you with us today.
Well, it's terrific to be with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for making some time out of your schedule. Now, your group is holding a conference in California over this next weekend to celebrate what? What is the 800-year struggle for human liberty all about?
Yes, it's called the Magna Carta, the 800-year struggle for human liberty, and it's a conference to commemorate and to celebrate the 800th anniversary of the signing of the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta is a foundational document in Western civilization, and it's a foundational document for the United States as well.
All right, because go ahead. I was just going to ask you to explain the connection there.
our legal system and our system of rights are very much the result of centuries of development in England and thereafter transferred across the Atlantic to the eastern seaboard of the United States, where it took root. The first document, of course, was the Magna Carta, called the Great Charter, signed by King John in a field called Runnymede, outside of London, on June 15th, 1215, exactly 800 years ago. And that document really articulated a number of very important rights that have come down to us as due process, equality before the law, habeas corpus, no taxation without representation. These are all fundamental rights which were articulated in some form or another in the Magna Carta. They weren't the express purpose of the Magna Carta, but as a result of that document, the arbitrary rule of kings in England was over, and they had to govern. They were put on notice that they had to govern for the people, mm-hmm. and they were subservient to the law. And this is a revolutionary change in world history.
Mm. And are these largely things that sort of developed in what we call common law that were then codified and recognized by the governing authority, by the king at that time? Is that what makes the Magna Carta, the Great Charter, so important?
Yes, it was the beginnings of a very long, arduous process. The Magna Carta was issued first in 1215, then again in 1217, then in 1225, and then 1265, a succession of English kings recognized the Magna Carta, and it became part of English law and really became foundational to the English concept of themselves as free men. And that concept translated and was transported across the oceans to places like Australia, where I was born, to America, to the United States, to New Zealand, to Canada, to all the countries that we now call the English-speaking world or the Anglosphere. And freedom became a word that the world began to understand because of the English.
Well, and what then happened? I mean, it seems as though we are having issues at the same time that we all sort of recognize some of these basic rights as individual rights that government shouldn't trample on or take away. We're also talking less and less about where those rights come from, first of all, but also about our government's responsibility to recognize and protect those rights. It seems as though we're no longer as proficient in understanding what guarantees we actually have in government, whether that's in America or in other countries in the free world. Why aren't we talking about this and educating ourselves on the heritage of freedom?
That's a very, very good question. There's a number of reasons. First of all, there's a range of revisionist historians and academics who are very eager to detach us from this past, what I call a glorious past. And they want to see the Magna Carta as sort of a backroom deal between a crooked king and his aristocratic cronies. It wasn't that at all. It was a confrontation, a threat of civil war by those barons in England who felt that their rights had been trampled. Now, they weren't exactly Martin Luther King's or anything like that.
Sure.
The barons were very self-interested, and that's quite clear from history. But their attempts to constrain the arbitrary rule of the king had a seismic impact upon the country and upon ordinary Englishmen who understood that they had rights as well. If the noblemen had rights and they were able to do it, then they had rights as individuals. And this radiated out not just from London or from Runnymede, where the document was signed, but it radiated out around the world. And today, those rights are regarded as universal rights. You know, they are universal rights that every man and woman and child believes they're entitled to. And so this was the result of the English and their insistence on being free men.
And I imagine this is why you find a conference commemorating this 800-year anniversary of the Magna Carta, why that's beneficial to people in America today. I mean, we talk about things that happened 2 weeks ago as though they're ancient history. This really is removed from us, but you think in principle it's time we remember this deep heritage that we have in terms of defending freedom, especially from governments when they try to usurp the proper role, right?
That's absolutely right. You know, there is an absence in our civic education about these matters that is very troubling, very, very troubling. Magna Carta is almost reduced to a cartoon. It's been little more than a cartoon. It's a very serious matter. But it's also a source of inspiration. I mean, the human, when you look around the world today, most peoples are still not free. Most people who are living under authoritarian or arbitrary rule. Their lives are subject to the whims of other people. And we take for granted these freedoms. We're so habituated to them, and we don't even bother to think, well, you know, why is it that, you know, I am equal before the law? Why is it there is due process that I can't be imprisoned without charges leveled against me? And without a fair trial, why do we have those things? And we have to think about it sometimes. That, you know, this didn't appear out of the air. This came from 800 years of arduous struggle.
Which is why it's so beneficial for us to study this history. Avi Davis, president of the American Freedom Alliance. Thank you, sir, for joining us today and for teaching us a little bit about the Magna Carta. Good luck with
your
conference.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Steve Dace.
I like you.